few of us got a chance to talk to actor Anthony Gonzalez, who a lot of you know him because he did the voice of Miguel in the Oscar-winning animation, Coco. We talked about his very new drama called Icebox, which I think he did a really good job. So, listen in.
So let's talk about Icebox. How did you get involved in this project?
So I auditioned for Icebox, the short film, when I was 10 years old, and I was just attracted to this like film. I loved the idea of it, and I loved the message it was sending. And I got to meet Daniel in the audition, and you know, this was a film that I was like super excited to be able to film. When I got the part, I was super excited because, you know, I don't know what these kids go through and what goes on in their daily life. So I just wanted to know, and that's what I love about acting, that I can experience things that I never thought I would experience, and that's why I love it and I want to do it for the rest of my life. And so yes, I auditioned for the short film when I was 10, and we filmed that in LA for about a week or so or longer, and we went to desert, we went to this like cells place. And fun fact, all my brothers were extras. So
that's good.
I don't think no one knows that besides Daniel. But yeah, so like all my brothers were extras, so I was there with them. It was super fun. And yeah, we went to some like film festivals. We went to like the Chinese film festival. It was showed in a lot of film festivals, and Daniel was telling us that it was doing well. And yes, and then a couple years later, like 2 years later, Daniel tells me that Daniel's the director, if you don't know, but yeah, he tells me that James L. Brooks wanted to pick it up and make it into a feature film, and I just couldn't believe it. I was so excited. And yeah, so he was the producer of this. We filmed this in Albuquerque last summer, so summer of 2017, like June, July. It took us a bit more than a month to film it, and it was super fun. I was honored to be doing the role, my same role again. Yeah. And I kind of had an idea of how to do it, like I did in the short film, but in the feature, there in some ways it was different than the short film. So there was like some parts where I had no, like, I didn't know what to do, so I had to, you know, research and stuff like that. And like Daniel would come over to our house and explain the scenes, and you know, we would just have a good time and talk and have like a family time. My mom even calls Daniel his like son. so yeah, he's part of our family. He comes once in a while. He plays with us, our family, and yeah. So we have a lot of fun with Daniel, and yeah. So we filmed it for a month in Albuquerque, and I had so much fun with the rest of the cast. It was super fun with Genesis, with Omar, with Matthew, with everyone. It was super fun, and yeah. Now HBO picked it up, and now it's gonna be coming out the 7th of December on Friday. So I'm super excited. I saw it, the first time I saw it was in Canada for its premiere. It was like 2 months ago. I was there with my mom and a couple other people from the cast, and we were just mind blown. We couldn't believe that we were just part of such an amazing project that will like open the eyes of people that don't know that this is happening in the real life. Like, as we're speaking now, this is happening to kids, and like not a lot of people are aware of that. So that's why I'm happy that this film is coming out, because it'll spread this message that not a lot of people know.
Did you get a coach to help you with the dialect?
Thank you. So for the short film, I did not have that because, you know, I think there was a budget, but yeah, I tried my best. My parents helped me with the Spanish and stuff like that. But for the feature, since it was like, it was a bigger film, I obviously had to learn how to do the Honduran accent, and, you know, I had a Honduran coach that was there to help me. She was super amazing. She like taught me how to do like the accents, like what words the Honduran people say. So yeah, that was super cool. And then my mom was helping me, and she was learning with me. And then when we came back from shooting the feature, we were still speaking the Honduran way. So it got stuck in our heads. But yeah, thankfully I had someone to help me learn the Honduran accent, so it can be very real.
Now, going from Coco to this, I mean, yeah. Coco is so bright and lovely, yeah. And you're going through something really grim, but did you do this after Coco?
I did the short film during the Coco voice. So mm-hmm. Coco was my first voiceover, mm-hmm. Besides a Subway commercial. But yeah, it was my first actual voiceover film. So I'm used to doing more live things and going into deeper characters. And Coco was a bright character, which is super cool. And so then Coco came out. And then I had to go back to my mindset of being Oscar, as I did in the short film. And that's another, the reason I love acting is because I can do things. I can be different characters. I can feel different things. So Coco, I was happy. And then opposite in Icebox. So yeah, and it's super cool. And I'm so happy that people can see that other side of me, because some people just think I'm just the nice little Coco kid. Yeah,
but did it take a toll on you, just the subject matter and knowing that this is real life?
Yes, it is. Yeah. That's what made me even get more into the character, just realizing that kids are going through this at this moment, and I'm so happy that HBO picked this up so they can spread this message.
And this is something that, we've been saying, it's been happening. When this was all going on in the production corner, it was happening, but it wasn't as relevant
as it happened this year. Now, yes. I'm so glad.
What would it have been like, do you think? Would you have changed things in the character? Would you have put things in that maybe you see now and the relevancy and what's going on?
You know, I don't really think I would do anything. I feel like I tried my best to do everything to, learn everything about my character and, do more research. And, it was so cool because we made this film, Daniel made this film four or five years ago, and now you see this happening now, and it's just truly amazing, and it was super, helpful that he made it a long time ago, and that it's being made into a feature, and it's coming out at this moment, because it's gonna make, especially at this moment, this was, the moment where it's relevant, and where it's, happening, this is the most important time, so if it would've came out a long time ago, it wouldn't really have done that much of an impact, but now at this moment, it's the most important time for this message to come out.
Yeah, you played it very well.
Thank you.
You did some research, right?
Yes.
Did you
yes.
ended up going to any detention center, meet one of those.
Daniel showed me. I believe Daniel talked to a lot of immigrants, and so he can make sure that the facts are all real. And and he would talk to me, Daniel. He would always come over, and he would tell me what people go through, he would also tell my parents, and it was just a family reunion, and he was just telling me so I got a lot of my research from Daniel, because all the research he did, he told me, and then I did extra research by myself, and I learned a lot about this. Yeah.
And this has happened pre-Trump, so these are all unaccompanied kids,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Whereas now, it's the kids are being taken away.
Yes, yeah.
Do you think it's even more traumatic now because they're being forced?
Yeah. Like I was saying, it wasn't as relevant. It was very important, but back then, not a lot of people, would, care about this and know about this. And now, now that people, it's starting to come out in the news, I feel like this was, the best moment for this film to come out.
You're still very young, but does this make you feel like you might want to be an advocate for these kids in this?
When you say advocate, is it
being a voice?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like yes, a lot of these kids don't have a voice because they're just stuck in the detention center, and this film really had an impact on me because it made me realize how fortunate I am to have, a family with me and be born in the United States. And these kids, unfortunately, didn't choose that, and they're stuck in a detention center. So, yeah, I just want people to realize that everyone is equal, and that some kids, just because where they're from, shouldn't be stuck in a detention center.
You're acting in this where, you show this anger and fear all at the same time.
Yes,
that's
yeah.
Pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I would I would just think how would I be feeling if I was away from my family, and if I would never see them again, if I would be stuck in this detention center for the rest of my life, or where would I go? What's gonna happen to me? And I'm just scared of my life because I know that if I go back to Honduras, I'm gonna get maybe possibly even killed. And yeah.
Johnny Ortiz went down there a couple times to the border to really go see what was going on and help
That's
with
amazing.
The individuals.
I didn't know that.
Was it something that you, that as a crew, have you guys ever done that? Have you gone to the border yet and seen?
No, I've seen pictures, but I've never been there in real life. That's super cool that, that Johnny did that. That's super cool, amazing castmate, super funny guy, nice guy. Yeah. It was nice, yeah. There was those little scenes he would add some extra, like, Johnny to it. So, yeah.
Yeah, because the banter between you and Johnny and everything, and him being the mentor, kind of, in that program was very good and very well worked. How was it working with him and working on those scenes? Because some of them were very hard, yet others were very playful, like you said.
Yeah. It was a bit difficult, but thankfully we had the time to hang out before we were filming. Like back at, we went back to Jim's office in LA. We would hang out. We would rehearse the scenes, and it was super cool. I got to experience working with Johnny, which at first it was a bit difficult because he would like do spontaneous things, but then I was like, okay, I gotta get used to this. So yeah, it was fun though.
And what was it like working with James L. Brooks? I mean, he's a legend.
I know he is. It was. I don't know. I don't know how he picked this up. I don't know how it happened. It must have been like one of the film festivals. He saw it and just wanted to pick it up. So I'm just super thankful that he did that. He was like an angel that came to us. So yeah, it's super cool that he picked it up.
He's a harsh critic of Trump on Twitter. I follow him. I don't know if you follow him. Wow, he goes after him like hard.
I'll make sure to see. I don't really follow Twitter, but I'll make sure to do
so
that.
So totally makes sense that he wanted to make this film because he's so anti those policies.
Yeah,
you know?
It's super cool. He's such a nice guy. So super nice. He's so cool.
What was the challenge? What was the toughest scene that you did?
You know some of the toughest. Some of the toughest things were, like, I have never experienced this, so I wasn't sure if I was doing it good, if I was doing it bad, because I have never had, like, a life experience of this. But, like, I, you know, that's why I did a lot of research. I want to be sure I was, like, you know, representing these kids that what they're going through. So, yeah, I wanted to be sure that I was doing everything right. So, and that was probably one of the most difficult things. And also, you know, all those scenes where you have to really get, like, emotional, like, you know, those scenes with your mom when you're leaving, when you're in the judge, you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, so yeah.
On a lighter note, how many takes did it take for you to hit Johnny with that drink?
Okay, I'll tell you a little secret. So I would, like, there would be, like, one, like, we probably did, like, 4 or 5 takes of me, like, pretending to throw it.
Oh,
and then separate, it was another person that would throw it at his back.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, I think they didn't trust me. They probably thought I would either hit it hard or something because I'm too stuck in the character. But, so they had, like, someone else. They would cut it. They would have someone else, a guy next to me, that would throw it, like, aimed directly at his back. I don't know. They probably didn't think I had good precision or something. But yeah. In the short film, I got the chance to do that scene, and I failed miserably, but I still did it. That's a scene that I really enjoy. I love all the lunch scenes. Yeah, super cool.
And the, I mean, the setup with the whole warehouse with the cages. I mean,
yeah.
Did that feel a little almost too real, that set?
You know, yes. Yeah. When I did the short, I was like, wow, this is amazing. I would see the, like, pictures of the short film, and then I would see pictures of it in real life, and I was like, it's literally the same thing with the foil, blankets. It was just, like, so real. And then I was like, there's no way that the feature can be, like, so as realistic as the short if it's not being filmed in LA, and it was filmed in Albuquerque, and it looked even more real, and it was just so amazing. So that definitely, the setting definitely helped me get into my character, because it's like I've never been in a cage. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, in the breaks we'd play some Foursquare, so yeah, with Daniel and everyone. We did that in the short, and then we did that in the feature as well, just to, you know, release the tension.
Was that the director's idea? Or?
Yeah. He just thought, like, we'd have some fun. Yeah, so yeah, that's why I loved going to set every day, you know, because it's just such a wonderful environment with everyone just coming to set with a nice vibe, so it was super cool.
Yeah, Because you need that, because you're with all kids, so there's a lot of strict rules, yes. Like you can only work certain hours.
Yeah, yeah, all those pumpkin times and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was also another struggle for not only Daniel, but, you know, the rest of the team, because, you know, there were some scenes that we couldn't, like, finish, or we couldn't, like, do that. We might have had to done another day because we didn't have enough time, because it was my pumpkin time, which is, like, I've done all my hours, and I have to leave. It's against the law. So, yeah, that was something that Daniel and the rest of his team had to go through.
How hard is it when you have to, when you're so into a role, you're so into getting into it, but yet you have those time restrictions because of what SAG offers and everything, and then you have to just cut it and leave, and you have to leave it. And then try and return it.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't. Once I went to Albuquerque, and you know, I got into the role. It was easy for me to get back into the role because, you know, the setting, and also, you know, I did a lot of research, and I wanted to make sure I was doing my best to represent these kids, and I knew that people were gonna see this, and I knew that I had to do my best, and, you know, get into the mindset, just think if I was in the cells, what would I do? So yeah, that's another thing that helped me.
Do you feel more of a weight when you're from the short film to the actual full feature length film, that you felt more of a weight and more of a bear to carry?
Yeah. I did definitely feel more of a weight because, you know, it's longer, so there's gonna be more, and also there was a lot of things in the feature that I didn't do in the short, so I wasn't familiar with, you know, like, in the short film, I don't even know who my uncle is. Like, I never get to meet my uncle in the short film. And in the feature, I meet him, and I go with him, I stay with him for a while, so it was another character added that I didn't know nothing about. So yeah, there was definitely a bit more difficult. You know, I had to learn about everything that wasn't in the short. So yeah, it's definitely more of a wait because it's longer, there's more scenes with him, so yeah.
If you have to... If you have to be apart from your family, what thing you take with you? Because you're crossing the border with a little backpack.
Yeah, yes. Like, what do you take? I probably just pictures, memories. Probably, I don't know what I would do in the moment because, like, you know, I don't imagine that I'm going to get separated from my family. But if I would, you know, just memories that, like, if I'm, like, never going to see them again, I would just bring memories so I can just remember those times because... In the end, memories are the most important. I would just love to remember who my parents were, how nice they were to me, how they helped me in my career, and yeah, so that's what I would probably take with me. Memories, you know, probably a soccer ball, because we love playing soccer, yes, stuff like that, like sentimental things, yeah.
The scenes, I don't know the actor's name, it's another, the young actor, the Colombiano.
Yeah, Matthew.
Those are really, really tender scenes. I mean,
yes, there is, yeah.
How much time did you guys spend together to work on those scenes?
You know, we spent some time together, even when we weren't even working, we would spend just some time relaxing in the pool, so it was super cool. You know, playing some games on the phone. So yeah, we did learn a lot about each other and, like, what we were doing in our scenes, what we were gonna do, and, like, how we can help the other person. So yeah, it took a while to, like, get into the character and the mindset, but yeah, we did it.
Is he a local actor also?
I think he lives in Orlando. Mm. Yeah. So yeah.
And how old are you now?
I'm 14.
You're 14. So yeah. What are your grand aspirations as far as an actor? Like, who would you love to work with?
I have so many aspirations. You know, like even right now, like before this interview, me and my mom were walking here in Hollywood Boulevard, and she wanted to buy so many like fake like Oscars. And I was like, no, mom, just wait for me to give you a real one. But yeah. yeah, so that's one of my aspirations, definitely getting an Oscar. I've gotten to hold one, but I want one to, like, a personal one. I've got to hold one in Coco, which was, I never thought I'd be in the Oscar stage, you know, like, across the street. I never thought I'd hold an Oscar and say something, but it was super cool. So, yeah, I definitely want to keep acting, keep singing, and keep doing what I love to do.
Do you have anything, like, any new projects, any new...
Yes, I actually do have a lot of projects coming. I have, I finished, I think, in the summer of this year, I finished filming this film for Netflix called Granddaddy Daycare with Danny Trejo, so that was super fun to film as well.
Machete himself.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you ask him any questions? since he's been around forever.
I was a bit scared at first, but yeah, he's such a nice guy. You know, it was super fun to work with him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the sweetest guy. You know, I know. He's scary.
Any singing plans?
I recently came from Texas like 2 days ago. Right now I'm still doing a lot of the singing from Coco because, you know, that's never going to go away. I'm always going to be singing them songs. But yeah, I sang for a Christmas parade they had in Texas. I sang Remember Me and Un Poco Loco, which was super cool. And yeah, that's something that I never want to like let go. That's already a part of me, the singing, and I want to keep singing at, you know, festivals and, you know, places where I can expose myself, so that's super cool.
Well, congratulations on this.
Thank you.
Yeah. December 7th, huh?
Yeah, this is Friday.
Yeah, this Friday. HBO.
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 HBO.